Welcome to Stargazing with Astro Dave Renicky. It's a website you need to have bookmarked, davidrenicky.com, but I always go one better. I go to the source himself. David, welcome. Hello.
Well done. Wouldn't be anywhere else in the universe.
Thank you so much. Look, everyone's been excited in the last couple of days about this NASA probe touching the sun. I'm sure we've done this before somewhere.
Well, we tried to, but we haven't been able to get as close as this one's going to be. And that's the trick with this one. It's got a new carbon composite material.
Right.
A heat shield.
It won't melt.
It's going to protect it. Now, look, this is an amazing mission. One that, you know, we'd always hoped would get off the ground, and it did. It launched quite well on Sunday night our time. Very briefly, it's an attempt to answer two questions about our closest star, the sun. The first one is, why does the sun have such a variance in temperature? If you go to the surface of the sun, or you measured it, whatever surface you can have on a ball of gas, temperature is 6,000 degrees. Now, when you get up into the atmosphere, we call the corona, it gets up to 6 million degrees.
Oh.
See, when you leave planet Earth, you get up higher and higher, it gets cooler and cooler. If you go on a flying plane or something like that, or even if you're somewhere high up in the mountains, you've got to put a jacket on. But this worked in reverse, and we don't know why. There seems to be some sort of convective process going on in the sun. The second one is also very important. We want to know the origin of the solar wind. That's one thing that really, really is important. It's going to travel through the sun's atmosphere close to the surface of any spacecraft before it. There's going to be some pretty harsh conditions there.
Yeah. We're not expecting it to return, are we? It will.
We don't know. I don't know what their eventual aim of this is, but it's out there for about 7 years now. And what it wants with the solar wind, we want to know what drives that solar wind. What is the energy source? Is it magnetic? Is it some sort of a heat transference? Is it a pressure wave? Whatever. We know that that solar wind, the sun's activity goes way out past Pluto. So this is an attempt to do that. Now, I'm going to give you some figures that will really, really surprise you and your listeners.
Blow my mind, Dave.
Now, are you hanging on real tight to that, Jim?
I am.
When they send this spacecraft to Venus, which is what they're doing, they're going to circle Venus. They're going to use Venus as a whip. The gravity of Venus is going to slingshot this closer to the star, to the sun. And that's important. We do that quite a lot. It's called gravitational assist. So it'll get caught in the orbit of Venus very soon, in the next month or so. And Venus's rotation will fling it out. They'll fire the rockets and fling it out from Venus after getting that initial boost, and it'll fly faster even when it left here. So it's going to be travelling pretty quickly. Now, the point of this is the speed is about 700,000 kilometres an hour.
And even at that speed, you said it's taken 7 years to get where it is now.
No, it's going to be around the sun. It's going to be there for 7 years.
Oh, for 7 years, right.
Yeah, and it's going to be there about September. So this is seven flybys over 7 years. But moving at 700,000 k an hour means that you could travel between Sydney and Canberra in about 2 seconds, which is interesting. Now, the carbon composite fibre, the heat shield, is what makes this thing possible. We haven't been able to do that before. It's going to withstand temperatures of over 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, the carbon composite shield's about 12 centimetres thick, and it's going to be facing towards the sun. The instrument package behind that, The instruments that are going to take all those measurements and radio them back, that's going to experience something in the order of probably what you've got in your studio right now.
Gee.
In your nice air-conditioned studio you're sitting in right now.
We're about 21 degrees. It's beautiful.
Well, there you go. So this is a mission we've been waiting for. Now, here's something that I haven't mentioned to you.
Yes.
A lot of people probably are unaware of this, but some people did experience it the same way I did. Now, I was sitting here around 6:30 on Sunday night, and I intended to watch it on NASA TV, which they do televise the launch. But there was a hole, so I sat down and I got into my bangers and mash with my glass of cold.
You go all out, don't you?
Yeah, a little glass of nice cold milk beside me.
Yeah, okay.
Cask milk it was.
Yeah.
And I noticed on the screen that there was a sign flashed up on the news that they'd already launched the damn. I thought, oh, no. So I'm sitting there and I'm cursing away. I said, oh, drat, that I missed it, you know. But all of a sudden I got a phone call from a friend of mine who knows the night sky. And he said, go and have a look outside. I said, what are you looking? He said, go and have a look. I can't tell you. Go and have a look. And then I went outside and I thought, oh, what's he found? Another star that we haven't seen out of 5 million of them up there. But there was this patch of cloud in the sky that I'd never seen before. Now, it was in the west and it was high up and it was reflecting light off the setting sun. I thought it was a Magellanic cloud, but they don't appear there.
Yeah.
And I thought it may have been a cloud, an ordinary cloud in the sky, but there was nothing. The sky was as clear as a bell. He made the suggestion to me that I initially rejected. He said, do you think this is the rocket plume? I said, this is Florida there you're talking about. We're here in Australia. This is the Northern Hemisphere. We're way down south.
So did you see UFO, David? Is this what you're saying?
No, this is what we saw. We saw the plume from the rocket.
Wow, the plume, yes.
Yeah, right. This is a high up in the atmosphere. Now, this is a heavy lift Delta IV rocket. An amazing thing, about 20-something, 24 stories high, something like that. An amazingly large rocket with a big booster on it. And it appears that that's what we saw. Now, within a few minutes, I began getting phone calls from radio and other people, members of the public who wanted to know what it was. And I made some quick phone calls to friends I knew, and we all agreed this is probably and more than likely what we saw. Now, there was a communication coming through on Facebook as well from Sydney Observatory that sort of backed all that up. And somebody did get a photograph too on Facebook, which I pinched and I've copied that. And that's on a report that I've got on my website right now.
I've got a link up on our Facebook page, and David Renicki's link there too, which is good, yeah.
So that was unusual in itself. I've never experienced that before.
I thought you had a UFO encounter, David. You got me all excited. I feel bad. I didn't ring you now. If the whole world was ringing you, I should have done the same thing. But what time was this on?
That's 6:30, I think it was, yeah. I just wonder if any of your listeners may have seen that. But
we might have to ask them. If anyone did, let us know, tweet us or something, because I didn't get any reports here. Friends of mine didn't ring me, but then again, they're too busy watching Little Big Shots or something.
Yeah,
on TV,
so. Probably, yeah.
Anyway, more at davidrenicki.com if you want to know anything about it. I'm loving this story. Scientists believe they've discovered a parallel universe. We've always theorised they exist.
That we've got to treat very, very cautiously. But the people who made this report are not silly. These are qualified researchers in astrophysics, in cosmology, and they've seen hints in the signals from the most distant points in the universe that suggest something quite unusual is happening. It appears that the fabric of our universe is being disrupted by some incredibly different universe that may be rubbing against it. This could be proof of a multiverse, we don't know. But the researchers say that the noise and the residual signals they found in what's called the cosmic microwave background radiation, that's the radiation left over from the original Big Bang that we assume, well, we know it's there. And they found a number of scattered bright spots in that signal, which they think may be signals of another universe bumping into our own billions of years ago. Collisions of other universes could be possible as well. So their conclusion is that our universe is like a bubble joined to another bubble, and there could be a whole string of them. No way to test it. There's no further research being done at the moment. It's a hypothesis, which is a theory built on a theory. And at this point in time, it's the first bit of proof that I've ever seen, of the possibility of alternate universe.
You've always got me thinking of that movie Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey. You know how he had the Tesseract in the black hole and was interacting with his daughter through various times in her life. I had a look at that movie the other day and I thought, no wonder people didn't get it when it first came out. It is so deep, but it is so, you know what, it rings true with me. It's a level of understanding that I'm assuming Christopher Nolan was able to get across, and they did get across beautifully in that movie. Worth having a look at again, Interstellar, if you will.
Can you imagine what the science of the 22nd century is going to be like?
I'll be like magic, David.
If these things are real and if we can probe them, which we can't now, but what we can't do now, we necessarily can't. We may be able to do later down the track.
Yeah.
But there could be many other regions out there that exist with us. Can you imagine the technology that would be required? That's way beyond anything we could think of. But more than that, just imagine the physical properties of another universe.
Now, we've talked about the red eye on Jupiter before, David, you and I, and now you're saying on davidrenicki.com there's an Australian study revealing what is actually going on inside Jupiter's storms. Interesting.
Yeah, we've got the first indication now what makes the bands and the tropical zones of the planet Jupiter do what they do. We know we have air currents, we've got vortices, we've got zones that spin around the Earth, but they're broken up by mountains and all sorts of other conditions there, and trees, high probably trees. But on Jupiter, there's nothing there to break up the atmosphere, which is pretty deep. Now, what we've been doing here, work done being done at the Australian National University in Canberra, has worked out how these stripes appear. And it's one of the most incredible, enticing mysteries in planetary science. They're all straight. They're clearly defined, these zones, and they've got different colours, and they move at different speeds. Well, as it turns out, there seems to be an interaction between the planet's atmosphere and whatever magnetic field it's got, which is pretty strong. The winds go all the way down. We think about 3,000 K deep. So there's something locking these belts and zones that rotate around with the planet as the planet spins around. There's something locking them and holding them down, and it appears that it's got some sort of a magnetic or some sort of magnetic type of action doing that. We're not sure. It's one of the early results coming back from the Juno spacecraft that requires a little bit more investigation, but quite interesting. Now we're finding out now some of the mysteries of things that have always puzzled scientists. How do these bands stay together? Why is that giant red spot there? How can a storm stay in the one place for at least, you know, centuries? I mean, we know Galileo saw it 400 years ago. God knows how long it's been there.
God, as we've said before, the mysteries of the universe are wonderful, and the fact that this study's being done from here is even better.
It reminds me of a saying that I do in some of my talks right at the end of it when I finish, and that was Einstein was asked by a reporter once, the universe is, it's got a religious content too, a lot of people feel that way, but look, Einstein was a scientist, and he had to be careful about how he answered things, because everything he said was being recorded for future history.
That's right.
So he was asked by a reporter, where does God fit into your equation? Now, you think about that. He had to be careful.
Yeah.
And he said, he did think about it. He came up with this amazing line. Listen to this. He said, young man, God doesn't play dice with the universe, but he sometimes throws them into corners we can't reach.
Wow. Yeah.
I thought that was great. So I kind of memorized that and bring that up, and it gives you food for thought.
Well, I firmly believe that, God wants us to find out. He's slowly unrevealing bits and pieces of the universe to us as we're ready to take them on.
Well, it's for those people who feel that the universe is there by divine intervention. Mm. Science works on the principle that, you know, there's something there and we've got to find out why. It doesn't have any set judgmental rules or whatever, but it relies on evidence, and that's what science is all about. And that's why science is probably as cold as it seems, because it does require evidence. And in the words of, I think, Carl Sagan, incredible claims require incredible evidence. So we are now probing. Well, look, most of the world scientists who ever lived are still alive today. And when you look at it, we've only just started to probe the skies in a way we're doing now for, well, just on 50 years, so we really don't know that much, but boy, we're learning pretty quickly.
As Dr. Ellie Arroway was told in Contact, small moves, Ellie. It's all about small moves.
Yep.
One final thing before we go, David. We mentioned this before as well. Looks like Trumpy's Space Force is going to happen. He's talking it up.
I just wish that guy would go away with this idea. I'm against the militarization of space. I don't want to see that happen. And you've got the resurgence of what appears to be Star Wars. Star Wars was very controversial in the 70s with Ronald Reagan.
Yes, it
was. And he got the nickname Ronnie Reagans. But that disappeared fairly quickly. There's still that content up there. God knows what's in some of those satellites. But with Trump, he wants to, it's chess being again, and he wants to have this space force, an extension of the Air Force. Congress don't want it. It's going to be an expensive thing to do that. He's got virtually no support outside his own party.
But he'll push it through. He's a man who will stick to his guns, and somehow we'll make it happen.
No doubt. I'm just wondering if he gets into office again, good luck to him, I guess. But if he doesn't, it'll more than likely get disbanded. It's not very popular, but I'm just against whoever has the idea. I'm just against the militarization of space. I think we should leave it alone. It's there for other reasons. It's for us to investigate, to travel through, to just enjoy and develop and extend the human race further than where we are on planet Earth.
Hear, David.
That's my feeling, Ben.
More at davidrenicky.com. Check out the website. Also, those pictures of the of that huge event that took place on Sunday night, that rocket heading towards the sun. Yeah. David, as always, a pleasure, my friend.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.